Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7 o'clock on a Thursday. Ben Maller in about 15 minutes or so. We'll get into smash or pass in about 45 minutes as well. It's an interesting one. Yesterday there was some news in the local government of Missouri and Kansas with the stadium in Missouri passing. They needed, what, like 83 votes? They got 92 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
It passed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By a lot.
Yeah.
So now it goes to Kehoe's desk. We get his signature on it, and then it goes back to a vote, I would assume, in Jackson County.
Yeah, well, it's a lot to digest, right? Yes, it passed in Missouri. The Senate passed their thing. But nothing goes into law without a local vote raising a sales tax for whatever stadium it is that the state of Missouri decides to build, whether it's for the Royals, whether it's a renovation for the Chiefs, whether it's build Royals a new one, renovate Arrowhead, whatever the case may be, for anything that happened yesterday to take effect and for shovels to be in the ground, there needs to be a local vote passed to raise a sales tax for either one of those stadiums. And there are reports, and we talked about it the other day, from Duron McGee, the head of the Jackson County side of things on this one. They're talking about a potential Chiefs-only sales tax, and that would go towards renovations of Arrowhead Stadium. You would keep Arrowhead Stadium. You would put $1.15, I think, billion dollars into renovating Arrowhead Stadium. That would require a vote of the people of Jackson County. That would be a Chiefs-only vote. They would spell out exactly what they're going to do, exactly where the money's going to go, exactly what the benefits are, and then they would present that to Jackson County. From everything I understand, it would probably be less than the 3/8 cent sales tax just for a Chiefs-only renovation of Arrowhead Stadium. Stop. Hard pause. Right? That's the Chiefs side of things. The Chiefs still have the opportunity to move to the Kansas side of the state line, build a new dome, right? They've got the opportunity to do that as well. That's why I say this relationship is complicated. Remember in Facebook days, what's your relationship status? And people would put, it's complicated.
It still is.
Right. It still is very complicated.
Well, mine says
right
in an open relationship with himself.
With himself. Is that what yours is? Okay. And so the it's complicated phase is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. Both teams have, you know, some things going on the Kansas side of the state line. It's not a secret, right? Everybody kind of knows that. Now, their current wife, current girlfriend, whatever it is like, hey, come back to me. And you're like, all right, you kind of look pretty over there. And she's like, but I'm going to need more money. And they're like, well, this girl over here doesn't require more money and doesn't require a vote and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll just stay over here. That's why it's complicated. Your current lover, Missouri, is making waves for you to come back, but not really, because it still needs to go to a public vote. The girl you're kind of hanging out with right now, talking to, as they like to say, is like, hey, whenever you're ready, you know, come on over here and let's see what we can do and get this done. But the local component is needed for both teams to stay in the state of Missouri. Now, I talked to somebody who said the royal side of things may have to come down to Q figuring something out with Casey Moe and figuring out a Royals-only plan to get local money in the Casey Moe side of things. Because I don't believe, from everything that I've heard throughout this process, I don't believe that the Royals have the appetite to go back to Jackson County. But they may have the appetite to go back to Casey Moe. And so if you're in Casey Moe, there's a chance, and the earliest I believe this could happen is the April ballot. The earliest that this could happen is the April ballot, because you need to get the language together and all that kind of stuff, and there'll be a January deadline for all of that. If it does go to the April ballot, there's a good chance people in KC Moe have to vote on the Royals and Chiefs, while people in Jackson County just have to vote on the Chiefs. And so that's where you run into more confusion. People in KC Moe may be voting on two different things, while people in Jackson County may be just voting on the Chiefs. And so that's kind of where we stand right now. But that great job by Missouri to get something done, a deadline, you know, they had, obviously, with the state of Kansas. They got their plan together. That's a nice plan on paper, but it's meaningless unless the local vote passes to kick in tax money from the local voters to get that plan up and running.
When do you expect Kehoe to sign?
Today, but that doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. It means nothing without a local vote, without a local component. And I got a text last night from somebody.
And there has to be a vote?
Yes. Missouri has to have a vote to kick it, because the state's not enough money to get the job done.
And what? And that vote is on a lesser tax?
A lesser tax for a Chiefs-only stadium. I don't know what the Royals are going to do, because I've heard the Royals in Jackson County, and we know where that relationship stands. But there could be a KC Moe only component for the Royals. You don't understand, do you? Nobody does.
No, I'm like, what? No, I'm just, I'm not trying to react in one second. Yeah, I'm trying to put everything together that you've said and from what I've read and what I've been told.
Yeah, I'm not saying you. I'm saying everybody. It's complicated. That's why I keep using that term. It's complicated.
No, it sounds like Missouri threw a Hail Mary and scored.
They didn't, though.
Okay. I respectfully disagree, because they're going to vote again. And yes, you're voting on whether you're paying or not, but a lot of people thought, you know, Missouri, oh, we're panicking, but it passed significantly. It's going to be signed and it's going to be sent to a vote. It could
sent to a vote of the people.
Correct.
And it has to pass that to matter.
Right. And I think that's now overtime. I think that's overtime, because a lot of people in Missouri that did vote yes, I think were probably like, you know, this sucks. I wanted to keep my teams here. I wanted to keep the money in my state. And unfortunately, yes, they're going to move to another state. Luckily, they're not going to go somewhere else out of the area. Mm-hmm. But now it seems like they, you know, because, you know, you saw the videos yesterday. Maybe it was all for camera. They're running down the hallways in the office, you know, with the carts. But,
well, they were happy to get out for the summer, too.
We were also saying that they had to make something, pass it, get it to his desk, and get it signed. That, to me, is you were down by 7. You're on your own 25. You threw a pass to midfield to get the vote passed. It did. You're now thrown to the end zone to get it signed. It did. Now it's into overtime. The scores are now tied again. No one is leading at this point from Kansas, Missouri. We're now tied, and it now goes into the hands. The coin flip has been flipped. It's on to Jackson County. Do they vote yes on this tax? If they do, they're not moving.
Well, there may not be an opportunity to vote, though. The Chiefs and Royals both could just say, we're just taking the Kansas offer. The Chiefs and Royals control this whole thing. If they announce today that they're taking the deals in Kansas, well, the Missouri thing doesn't matter. It may be a law that the Senate passed, but the law doesn't kick in until the local vote takes place. If the Chiefs and Royals decide, it's really not what we want. We want to build new. We want to build that dome. We want to build that 119th and Nall. Then that's what they're going to do. Like, the Chiefs and Royals do not have to accept this plan at all. And they don't have to wait around for a vote if they don't want to wait around for that vote to see ultimately what happens. And that's why we sit here and we think, oh, Missouri tied the score or whatever it is right now. There's still a long way to go in the state of Missouri. Now, could it happen? Absolutely, it could happen. Nothing is impossible at this point in time. But there's still work to do on the Missouri side of the state line. And do the Chiefs and Royals both have an appetite for other votes? Because the votes this time are not going to be together. They're going to be separate. And the Royals are going to need money from Casey Moe or the Northland. But, you know, their guy, Jason Withington up there, who's a council member, said they're hundreds of miles apart when it comes to negotiating with the Royals in the Northland. That's the tricky part right now. That's the tricky part of getting the local component taken care of to get the state money and the city money and the county money that's needed to build and or renovate the facility for the Chiefs and or the Royals at this point in time. So there's still a lot of balls in the air. Both sides have an opportunity to, A, keep the team or get these teams. Now it really just depends on what ultimately I think the teams want at this point in time. Hey, that's a great offer, but maybe we still want to do this one. Or, hey, that's a great offer. We're willing to go and see what happens. But time is of the essence. Again, I talked to somebody the other day and like, 2031 is a real deal. We need places to play then. And so they've got to speed some things up. Realistic time frame is 2027 to start construction to have those places to play by 2031.
So they don't have to accept the Missouri plan. Do they have to accept the Kansas plan? Like, they can say no to both, right?
They could. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I don't even want to think about that. But yeah, I mean, they absolutely could say, yeah, we're not going to take the Kansas plan, then look at the Missouri plan and go, eh, we're really not that interested in that as well. Don't even worry about putting it to the ballot. So yeah, the teams control all this. The teams have kind of controlled all this. But now, you know what the good thing is? Now you've got both states, again, truly bidding against each other. And maybe Kansas goes, all right, we'll make your offer sweeter. Or maybe Missouri goes, we'll figure out a way to maybe make your offer sweeter, if they can. I don't know what the rules are in that kind of stuff. But, I mean, look, dude, I think we still got a ways to go before we get a resolve to all of this right now.
Fair point. I mean, I just let it be over. I mean, I know it's just, it's never going to end because it was supposed to have a, what did they say, by mid-June or June 12th. We're 3 days away from Father's Day, and there's still no decision to be made. I want it to be over. I want there to be a place. I want there to be a destination, and I want it to be done. That's all I want. Because people ask me on the text line, Dusty, you're Jackson County. You voted yes. What makes you believe that people will vote yes and not no?
They believe a Chiefs-only smaller sales tax would pass in Jackson County.
I'm speaking for the people. And why I think people would change from no to yes. And my point would be this. They are more educated on the topic now.
No doubt.
And they also maybe were like, they won't move. What's my vote matter? And your bluff was called. And I think that the more educated you are on the topic and the more you look back and think to yourself what it could be, you might persuade yourself. Now, I think the vote failed like 58 to like 42 or whatever the hell yeah. It was. I don't know if they can make up that much ground with just that sort of logic, but I'm answering the question that I was given multiple times on the text line. Dusty, what makes you think that the no's would change to yes? There's a lot of people that vote for a presidential candidate the first time. They run again for the second time. They say, no, I'm good. I've done more research. I'm going to go on my own and look up instead of listening to my parents that say, vote no on Tuesday. Make sure you vote no. Okay, yes, Dad. And then they go and they go, wait a minute. All these teams that would come to Missouri would have to spend money, would come to our benefit. Okay, yeah, I'm going to vote yes on that now. I don't want to see this get lost in the... Now, that's what I'm saying to you. I voted yes. I'll vote yes again. Right. I'll go on record as saying that. I don't want to lose the teams that I've grown up in my state watching. But that's just me. But I don't know how many people on the no side would flip to yes. And I don't know how many people on the yes side would flip to no's either.
Yeah, that's an interesting question to ask. Like, if you voted no, if you were in that 58% that voted no, what's it going to take for you to vote yes? Is a Chiefs-only smaller sales tax something that you would vote yes on? Is that something that people would vote yes on? I don't know. I don't know the answer to
that
question.
And I think a buddy of mine nails it as well, as I just got a message from him and myself. I'm thinking about this too, is I think people, when you talk about that are now educated on the matter, like I just said, like, oh, when the Dodgers come to town and they go to the plaza and they play in Kansas City, the money they spend is going to your state. Like, it's going there. You're losing that money if they go elsewhere.
Yeah, I know.
And I think more people have realized that, like, yeah. Oh, 1% of their, okay, got it. That makes a lot more sense than, hey, Dad, what are we doing on Tuesday? We're voting no, Skip. Go vote no. It's like, okay, got it. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. Who knows? And who knows if the teams even want to deal with going to a vote of the people again, right? They went through that process, didn't go well at all. It's caused a year of, I don't want to say unrest, but you know how it's been around here for the last year, you know, with all this stadium stuff going on. Do they want to go to a vote of the people? Because if they do go to a vote of the people and you know, if they try to extend the star bonds, it's probably only going to be able to do so to the end of the year because Kansas is turning over governor next year too, right? There's a gubernatorial election over there. So if they say no to Kansas and then they go to a vote and it fails, is Kansas going to be there next year to save them and to have the backup plan? People don't know the answer to that question because of the regime change that's going to take place in Kansas. Laura Kelly's going to be out. There's going to be a new governor in place. Would they be as bullish as bringing these teams over and giving them that opportunity? So there is still a lot. I mean, it is utterly messy, I think, right now with where this stuff is, because there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of good things out there, but there are two major unknowns. Would these people in Missouri vote yes for a Chiefs-only Jackson County sales tax? And would the people of KC Mo vote yes for a Royals deal and a Chiefs deal? That's the thing that we're kind of looking at right now.
We'll ask Ben Maller if he's going to vote yes or not. I'm kidding. Ben Maller will join us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Guy Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's all brought to you by our friends at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, you know, we can start anywhere on this one, but I think the big news, obviously, of the day is these OTAs, these mini camps that are going on. So many great storylines right now in the NFL. Which is your favorite, Fat Debo, who didn't show up, or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, so it's like Aaron Rodgers is at the very top because we spent the last, 4 months, I did talk about Aaron Rodgers. So the fact that he's finally arrived. And, oh, by the way, he got married. He didn't tell anyone. And just, like, and there's no photos of it. Like, I don't know how he pulled that off. Because even if you went to the courthouse, somebody at the courthouse has to, like, sign the paperwork. And normally those people, the next call they make is to TMZ to get a check. So somehow he pulled it off. And then the tabloids have no photos of this woman. So, like, that's in 2025, you can't find a photo. You don't know her last name or any of that. That's interesting. So that kind of stuff is great. The Stephon Diggs pink bag of drugs, which he wouldn't talk about. A guy that lives his entire life on social media says he doesn't want to talk about his personal life. I thought that was great. I mean, there's so many of these things. It's where do you stop? The Cleveland Browns, Joe Flacco, just ripping apart people that dance on TikTok and all that. I mean, it's just priceless. This stuff is great.
Ben, I think it's interesting how we look at the NFL and just listen to you there. You know, the thing that's interesting is that people, you know, they don't know where the next out is going to be, whether it's Rodgers is really married to a Holy Spirit of some sort and not even a human being. but yet, we don't have to watch this, right? Like, we don't have to pay attention to Shador Sanders getting asked questions about his dad's health and saying that I'm going to be a Cleveland Brown quarterback. We don't have to watch these guys display their lives. But for some reason, we do. And I ask you, are we too far gone?
No. We are okay because we have talk shows. So as long as we have the talk show to do, we're fine. And if anyone says, well, what do you care about Shador Sanders or whatever? I have a talk show to do. So that's it. I just say that. And then I feel better. Dusty, my conscience is good and all that. But it is just the time of the year. This is the seasonal thing, OTAs and all that. And it's the one thing that bonds all of us together. Like, everything is pretty regional other than this. And so I'm in. I love it. I look forward to this. These are the kind of things I'd rather talk about, a lot of this stuff, than some of the games are often not that good. Like, this stuff's entertaining. The peripheral stuff in the suburbs is wonderful.
No, it really is. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people have opinions on that kind of stuff. You know, some people didn't watch the game or whatever, but man, they got an opinion on Cardi B, you know, or they've got an opinion on whoever. But I think Dusty raises an interesting point because Adam Silver talked about that, you know, yesterday when he was on Dan Patrick. He was talking about the differences between ESPN and TNT. And he says, well, ESPN is more of your hardcore basketball than what TNT brought to the program. What do you think most people want? I think it's more of the entertaining side of things because that encompasses more people than the X's and O's side of things. So when Adam says that and Dusty's talking about that, the entertainment thing I think has maybe surpassed a lot of the on-court, on-field stuff.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I you know, thumbs up on that because it's and I ripped Adam Silver in the overnight too. I was like, listen, you don't. I know you're trying to scramble and defend the NBA, and there's just I think this NBA Finals has proven. There's just not that many hard-o basketball people. They're just not. And the whole model is, hey, let's kind of – this is the male soap opera, right? Most people watch sports are dudes. There are, you know, women, and well, obviously. But most people are guys, and they're into the – this is our soap opera. This is what it's all about. And Adam Silver's like – he was trying to defend ESPN. ESPN's basketball coverage is unwatchable. It's horrible. It's a bad product, and I know they write a big check, and so the NBA is okay with it, but Turner Sports was light years ahead of ESPN because they don't take themselves seriously, and they'd goof around, and they'd have fun, and it's entertainment. Like, if you have a real job, like, we don't have real jobs. If you have a real job and you got a couple hours at night to watch a basketball game, would you rather hear Charles Barkley and Shaq and those guys crack jokes or play-by-play X's and O's breakdown from Doris Burke and Kendrick Perkins? No, please. I'd rather stare at a wall than watch that.
No, I get it. So I want to ask you about the NBA Finals because last night was a game. I guess it was close. It was interesting, but I don't think anybody's watching it. Everybody that I've seen from any other major network, whether it's been, you know, Colin Cowherd or it's guys on, you know, First Things, nobody's watching, and yet we always tell ourselves, give us a reason. There are a lot of reasons to watch this, yet there are a lot of reasons not to watch this NBA Finals. And I find it interesting that sometimes in sports and when we do entertainment stuff like this, we ask questions to be answered, but then we don't even try to give the questions a shot because you have Halliburton, you have SGA, you have two teams, Ben, that have never won a title in their entire existence, and yet we're like, eh, I'd rather stare at a wall.
Yeah, no, it's, I watch. I mean, I'm watching the games as much as I'm not necessarily fully invested because I don't have any skin in the game and all that stuff. But, yeah, it is the star power. I saw LeBron was complaining. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was like, well, it's the media's fault because they did not. The media didn't tell the story. The media, how many stories have been written about SGA, MVP? They've compared him to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, for God's sakes, and Tyrese Halliburton and all the game-winning shots, and he's the greatest clutch player since Robert Horry or Michael Jordan. And those stories are out there. People are not watching. So, like, whose fault is that? Now, the celebrity factor was funny in Oklahoma watching the games there. The biggest celebrity was Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, which is not a good sign. And then last night they pulled all these old, like, Pacer players, like Reggie Miller was there and Meta World Peace or Ron Artest, who – I worked with briefly at our place, and then Mark Jackson, and I think Caitlin Clark was the biggest star there, though. I think she was the biggest deal. But like, you know, people just, again, this goes back to the hard-o part, Dusty. Like, there's not enough hard-o people. If you're a hard-o basketball fan, you're going to watch. This is a vote of no confidence to the star power of SGA and Halliburton. And SGA, I see him on a lot of commercials. Or at least one commercial. I see that, you know, the Thunder guy's on there, and it's not really moving the needle, though.
Ben Maller, I think a lot of it has to do, though, and it is the cities. I mean, it's Indianapolis, it's Oklahoma City, and it's trending to be the lowest-rated NBA Finals we've had in a generation, basically. And then you look at baseball, right? Everybody says baseball's dying. Well, you had New York and L.A., and you had the highest ratings in a generation for a World Series. I think it's all about the city, man. You put New York on somebody's jersey, people are just going to naturally watch that. Or you put LA on a jersey and people are just going to naturally watch that.
Well, yeah, and it's a, you know, it's one of those things. You it's like the old Howard Stern thing. People listen to Stern more if they hated him. Well, people watch if you hate the Yankees, and you're going to watch. I know the Yankees have been in town this week there in Kansas City, but if you hate the Yankees, you're going to watch till you lose. Or if you hate the Dodgers because they've signed every good player the last 7 years, you're going to hope they lose. And so, yeah, you tune in for that. Like, there's no real emotion. You can't really work yourself into a lather because of Oklahoma City playing Indiana. It just seems like a random Thursday night in November. It's like you wouldn't watch that if they were playing in November or December or January. So why are you going to watch it in June when the weather's nice and you can go do something and enjoy your life?
Dusty. Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a tweet earlier. We're bringing it up on the show a little bit later today. Saquon Barkley, best running back of all time. Like, why do – Ben, come on. Like, why do we do this? Why do we get so high on one Super Bowl or one team? And look – I will be honest with you, and I will look you dead in your face right now on this computer screen, and I will tell you, hey, when Mahomes did that the first time in the Super Bowl, when he came back against Houston and Tennessee and San Francisco won a title, I was probably swimming in the pond of saying, this is going to be the best quarterback we've ever seen play football. But hey, at least he did it against three teams in the playoffs consecutively and at least continued to do it. We got one really, really, really good year, Saquon Barkley. And now all of a sudden, crowning? Like, what are we doing now?
We always do this, though. We've done this for like 20 years. We've done this. It's recency bias. It's prisoner of the moment combined with engagement farming. Like, you have all these things mixed together. It's like whatever's going on right now is the greatest of all time. And whoever played a few years ago, they were playing against plumbers and they were playing against, you know, carpenters. And they, like, whatever's going on right now, like, and it also does depend on how old you are, because, like, for me, the greatest basketball – I'll give you an example. Basketball, Michael Jordan. I've seen the entire career of LeBron James. I've heard all – you know, people say, LeBron's 10 years – you know, 10 light years better than Jordan. I said, well, no, I watched Jordan. Jordan's the greatest. But, like, the running back thing, Barkley was wonderful, but he's not the greatest running back of all time. That's ridiculous. It's dumb. It's stupid. But it does get clicks. It does get engagement. So – there's an ends to, you know, to the mean, you know, the means to the ends and all that. So it's good. But here's the other thing, too, about Barkley. I read a stat, because there's a stat for everything. If you look at the amount of carries that Barkley got last year and you look at the comps, he is going to have an epic fall in terms of production. The amount of carries he got and touches of the football last year, if you look at every other player the last 20 years that have had that level of touches, all of them have fallen off tremendously the following season. So he's going to have to overcome that this year in Philadelphia. And they have the championship hangover from winning the Super Bowl. So they've got that to deal with too.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy dreaming about what could have been with Aaron Rodgers and the Rams. And we will talk to you again next week.
We were this close. Thanks, guys.
That is our guy, Ben Maller, all brought to you by The Landing up in Liberty. Imagine if they did get him in Los Angeles, the quarterback known as Aaron Rodgers.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, Sean McVay said that's kind of our backup plan if Stafford didn't sign.
Well, looks like it works out.
Yeah, for everybody.
Mac, let's do it.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One word on those Royals these last 2 days. We heard a cut from our boy Vern in his post game. He's upset. He said it's been embarrassing. He used the E word. One word on the Royals these past 2 days.
I'll use that same word. It's not been great for them. The pitching hasn't been there. The offense obviously hasn't been there all season long. You kind of got your teeth kicked in the last couple of nights by the Yankees. So I think Vern's words are fair to use for everybody. The last two nights, kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Right, yeah. Ridiculous, unwanted, regressing.
That's a good one, Dusty. Yeah, regressing. Yeah.
It's all there, black and white, thick and thin. You stole from fizzy lifting drinks. You lose. Good day, sir. Somebody fire up that dugout. Somebody fire up that clubhouse. Somebody look in the mirror and say you're sick and effing tired of this and that you're done being a 500 flirtatious team.
that you're actually going to go out there and be the team that you think you can be. I don't care if it's Vinny, Bobby, Sal, whoever, somebody, Q, somebody, go in there and light a fire and kick some tires. But regressing is not what you want to be right now on June 12th.
Yeah, and that's definitely what's happened. One word on the NBA Finals. Pacers get a win in Game 3. Everyone keeps trying to count them out. They keep coming back. 116-107. Tyrese Haliburton almost with a trip dub. Mm. One word on the NBA Finals.
Cool.
Jeez.
Interesting. You want a reason to watch? Now you have one. They can only ask so much, and you can only do what you say that you say you will do. When you gave me the absolute worst possible matchup for the NBA Finals this year, you said, well, what will make you watch, Dusty? I said, well, give me something interesting. Well, Oklahoma City was supposed to be the big favorite, minus 800 to win the series. Oh, by the way, the tables turned. Advantage Indiana. We are at 2-1. This thing might go 7.
Yep.
And what's the other thing that we like to say about NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, any sort of 7 situation game final? Give me 7 and I'm there. So let's see what happens. Florida Panthers are up 2-1. And the Indiana Pacers are up 2-1. Will we get another 7-7 when it comes to the, God, now I want a 7-7.
I'd take also, a game 7 you'd be there for.
I'll tell you this.
Got to get there first.
7-7, Turnpike Troubadours. Another great song. But interesting is the word I will choose for the NBA Finals because almost another triple-double with Dad in the building.
Yep. Yep. This is a good matchup, man. You know, media tried to say it wasn't, but it always was. Basketball. This matchup just was. I mean, basketball knowers knew that.
Yeah.
One word on Charles Barkley talking about the Knicks and their head coaching search. That's been a debacle.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Correct. Dead on. Is that one word? Dead on.
I'll give it to you.
Because, I mean, he nailed it right there. I mean, he's absolutely right. You fired a coach with no plan in place whatsoever. No matter what you do in life, right? You got to have a plan. If this doesn't work, then what, right? You got to have that backup plan. The Knicks just fired a coach and went, okay, who wants to be the head coach of the Knicks? And everybody's like, no, I have no interest in that. Because now the reputation is back, right? Nobody wanted to work for James Dolan. It was a mess over there. They got this thing moving in the right direction. And then out of nowhere, you fired the coach. You don't have a plan. Why would anybody that has a brain want to take that job at this point in time?
Yeah. Let's see here. Chuckish. I mean, I think that's like he's the guy. That's why he is who he is. Like he's saying what a lot of people probably believe. And then you hear Charles Barkley say it in such a, you know, normalcy of what guys would talk about or how they would talk in the water cooler. So I think that's why it's so, I don't know, it makes sense to me. Like it is, it's perfect. It's great. It's deserved, I guess would be my word. So yeah, sorry, yeah. Knicks. Like, I mean, I don't know. Hey, I'm going to do the, I really want a job where I'm going to make like, you know, 60K a year, 40 hours a week. 2 weeks paid vacation, have a couple holidays off. Hey, here's a job right here. 55, 2 weeks. Not good enough. We're going to go try for something different. Okay. An Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get somebody. No, you won't.
No, you won't. I hope everybody looks at that job and is just like, nah. And they end up hiring Meta World Peace.
I think they're going to be just fine. One word on the U.S. Open.
Hard. I mean, looking at that course this morning,
I know that I'm hard.
Yeah, and not that way.
Yeah. I mean, people are like even before they even teed off.
Yeah. infuriating is what I will use for the U.S. Open this weekend. It is a course. This is why it's interesting because you always have the green jacket that kind of takes a little bit more into the Masters feel and like the ambiance of what the Masters is. But what the U.S. Open is like golf's nature's way of telling the golfers F you. The rough is just disgusting. You will see guys lose their absolute minds this weekend. Oakmont will fight back, and the U.S. Open always has one goal, zero red. Zero red. Spahn leading the tournament right now at -2, Rory McIlroy at -1. I will be shocked, but again, I get a lot of things wrong. I will be shocked if there is a negative in front of a number by the time this tournament is over.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you'll be wrong about that at all. And if you are, holy crap, that guy played well. Because this course, I was looking at our sister station in Pittsburgh with videos and stuff from that course. I mean, it looks like they're in the middle of like a wild field with that rough being as long as it is and whatnot. Like, it's going to be a bear for a lot of these guys. I told Dusty they should offer a yellow jacket for the U.S. Open.
Oh, that's good.
How much of the Masters that gets all the love is because it's spring and everybody's ready for winter to be over? I think that plays a factor in it as well.
Sure.
And the music.
Music.
And it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Calming. It's the perfect time of year. Everybody's ready to break out. We're ready for sun. We're ready for spring. Because correct me if I'm wrong, during the pandemic, they played it in November. I don't think it had the same effect.
No. Everything was different.
Yeah.
Everything was different.
Going Morikawa?
Yeah, I already had the bet placed in. Okay. Yep, 25-1. So I had a free bet, 10 to win 250 on Colin Morikawa. So we
smash it.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy did just birdie. He is at 2-under, tied for the lead early on in the U.S. Open. But it should be fun as it wraps up on Sunday. Coming up on the other side, we will get to Smash or Pass. This week is very interesting. And don't forget, it is brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's best steaks now with two locations, 95th and Knoll and 135th and Metcalf. Smash or Pass on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Smash.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well as we dive into Smash or Pass. Now, remember, today you got to be caller number, how many days out are we for the Chiefs? 86?
85, I think.
85, okay, you got to be caller number 5. Now, obviously you want to wait for the sounder.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning, like a dairy cow.
Mm-hmm. Oh! That's
bad today at OTA. Oh, yes! Yes!
No, that really is.
Yeah.
No, that really is.
You don't have to worry about me leaning.
Yeah. Whatever you say, coach.
Got a damn tripod, Alina.
Chaz Jism.
Got the camera. No, you want to be caller number 5 when you hear that sounder. Of course, this is Smash or Pass brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu. Now two locations. One is at 119th. Or 135th in Metcalf. The other one's at 95th in Knoll. Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's best steaks. And we go to Smash or Pass. You can't make that up.
No, you really can't.
It's like tube. So we saw this yesterday. We're in our meeting, and we've got these, you know, ideas that go back and forth. Like, all right, tomorrow, Smash or Pass. Mac, what do you want to use? Like, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And we can't do that Mac.
We've done that.
All right,
man,
Cheeto Puffs. Yeah, no, can't do that one either. So then I'm on my phone, and I see this come up.
Hey, y'all, today was a nice day, so I headed to Spike Lounge, and I heard the chef make these chi-chis that got everybody in a frenzy, so I came to see what the hype was about.
First of all, I was so blown away by the creativity, and this was my first time ever having one, so I was so excited to try. Because be for real, who you know make gourmet chi-chis and really got people going crazy over? And then the fact you could get barbecue or buffalo chicken, lambs, tuna, lamb, salmon, or chili? Please be for real when it comes to a nice meal. I never hit a chi-chi, and I don't eat tuna. But when I say delicious, I wouldn't even lie to y'all. I was so intrigued by how it was made.
So that was what they considered prison food. And again, it was what? Lamb, tuna, oysters, clams.
It was some of the nastiest stuff I've ever seen.
And they built basically a Chipotle bowl of it and then put nacho cheese and tuna over the top.
Oh, but you forgot. They put it in a blender, made it all mush, shook it up in a big bag, poured it out, and then put this stuff
on
the top.
It was pureed.
Yeah.
Smash or pass?
Pass. Big time pass. A huge pass. Not even, I mean, my sister lives in Philly. I sent her that. She goes, ugh.
And it was titled prison food. So I guess they're eating food like that. And they just,
they're making gourmet prison food is what they're essentially doing.
Prison cuisine.
Yeah.
I thought it was like in prison, there's a lot of ramen noodles.
Well, that had ramen noodles in it.
It had hot dogs. It had, it had the pink stuff. It had gray, a little of the yellow.
Had what?
It had the pink stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
Had the gray, had a little of the yellow all mixed in there.
There's a lot of yellow. A
lot of yellow.
What got me is like, you know what you get your candy corn, or not candy corn, kettle corn in? That's what they put it all in when they pureed it and then shook it all
together. Yeah. It was, ugh.
So let's talk about that.
Since we had the
downtown days, I think there's old Shawnee days, downtown Lee Summit days. Kettle corn, are you guys in?
I like kettle corn. Yeah, that's a good fair food.
Yeah, for sure.
See, I'm an out guy.
Yeah.
It's too sweet too and salty.
Sweet, yeah.
Too sweet and salty. Yeah.
Funnel cakes.
In?
Smash or pass?
Yeah, I'd be funnel cake? 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, probably not a whole one to myself, is
there
but yes.
Has there ever been a more shareable design food than a funnel cake?
Than a funnel cake, yeah. Yep. It is, yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like some people be like, oh, nachos with the one side salsa, one side. No. It's still
the funnel cake. Everybody just rips.
You do.
Yeah.
And you don't want to eat just one to yourself.
No, you ever see the plate that they put the funnel cake on?
You can see through it.
Yes.
It's transparent.
Yes.
And then it looks like it belongs on Tony Montana's desk. But no, because I was thinking about that when I was walking through the downtown area. I was like, there's really never been, maybe ever, a more designed thing to share than the funnel cake and the curly Q chips or fries that stack up that look like Marge Simpson's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just all clumped together. Perfect
shareable. Popcorn, too. A big bucket of popcorn is very shareable, as well.
At least the funnel cake is open.
Yeah. You're not sticking your head. You're doing the germaphobe there, and I get that. Okay.
Like the funnel cake, you can at least, you know, you can flour.
Yeah, but you're still getting your hands on all parts of it.
You are getting in there, but you're not getting in there.
Yeah,
You're not knucking it.
Like, we had a meeting yesterday, and somebody said, pass me one of the quesadillas. So I grabbed the napkin, grabbed the quesadilla, and passed it to the person, right? Okay. And she goes, you could just touch it. I got two boys. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't want you to touch that and pass it to me. So I'm doing the sanitary thing. So the popcorn I get because, everybody's putting their dirty hands in the bucket and you're missing some. And there's dirty kernels laying around and stuff of that nature.
Somebody says there's a prison cookbook written by a former inmate that's pretty creative.
Is it? I mean, like, how many options are there? I mean, like, honest to God, I don't know. Like, you get hot dogs, you get ramen, you get gruel. Like, what other stuff?
What is gruel?
Like just whatever. Whatever's left over, like that stuff they poured out.
Please,
like
sir. Hot.
Yeah, can I have some more gruel?
Yeah. Who knows? It's usually gray in the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those were black and white movies back then, so we really don't know what color the gruel is. But yes, I get what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, because if you say gruel, you're like, oh, it's some gray substance
gray,
in a bowl.
Sludgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they gave to the orphans back in England.
Yes, exactly.
Please, sir, can I have some more gruel?
More?
Yeah. Did you ask for more?
Waiter. I didn't know what gruel was till today. That's crazy. There's a book out called Jailhouse Cookbook.
The hell wants that?
The Prisoner's Recipe Bible. Well, there might be people that are incarcerated. They're like, I need to figure out how to cook.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this book.
I don't think they let you cook in prison.
They don't let. Oh, that stinks.
What do you think? This is the motel?
That's fair.
You got a kitchenette? Well, they don't let you cook.
They don't let you
do a lot of things in prison, Mac.
They let you go to OTAs or no?
No!
Damn it.
You get 1 hour of yard time. Make the most of it.
It's funny you say that. The first line in this is, to answer the question, can inmates cook in prison? Chef Artie Cuisine has written a delicious, entertaining, biographical jailhouse cooking saga, a vivid portrayal of incarcerated New York City chefs' culinary life cooking in jail.
Dang. This guy says, guy that works for me did 4 years. His prison burritos are on another level. Outstanding.
Oh, okay. Say that one more time out loud test. Go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead, Matt. Read it one more time and let it sink in to what you just said.
I'm so glad there's a video component to this show now.
God. Oh, my Lord.
I've been pounded this week.
Yeah, dude. He read it with...
They make great burritos in prison, guys. Man. Let's go to Gardner and check it out.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Mac thinks they got like a concession stand. Yeah. You got enough money saved up in your account.
100%.
You can go by there instead of dental floss or buying a burrito. Oh, it's Minsky's day at the federal penitentiary. Everybody gets a slice of pizza.
Winstead, sweet.
Oh, God.
You understand what prison is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He said, my buddy served 4 years. His burritos are my
own.
Hey, every Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday in prison. And Taco Bell comes. And if you have enough money in your commissary account, you can get a taco.
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
In like pain.
Mac. Oh, you don't have a kitchenette?
He's just so
Can I get a king size bed?
Mac's just so innocent sometimes.
Oh, my God.
It's like, hey, text line.
You ever been inside a jail before?
Yes.
Prison, no.
Have you ever been inside a jail or a prison?
A jail, yes.
A jail, but not a prison.
Not a prison.
Yeah, they're not country clubs.
Yeah.
I got offered peanut butter and jelly and a thing of milk. I mean,
we've done this. We did the scared straight when I was in high school. And, I mean, I'm going to tell you, the county jail, they were peeing on us.
Mm.
And then the federal penitentiary.
You're in jail.
Yeah, exactly. The federal penitentiary was the one they used on Scared Straight on MTV back in the day. So all those guys were quote-unquote celebrities to us because we watched them on MTV. And then sitting around with those guys. I mean, good Lord, man.
Son of a gun.
Not a country club.
I love this show so much.
I hear they have good burritos in prison.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes!
There it is.
And we will be doing the Hy-Vee giveaway coming up at 8:45 this morning. Qualifier, our fourth qualifier to win the $500 Father's Day Hy-Vee gift card. We'll be doing that about 8:45 this morning.
But right now, you got to be caller number 5, Smasher Pass winner. Winner gets a...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Coming up on the other side, just push your stars. That's all you need to do when it comes to these leagues, if they could just figure that out. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.